Good morning, everyone. It's strange to be here with all these empty seats. I've missed you so much, and particularly coming together on a Sunday to worship. My name is Abby, and I've been a member of this church alongside my family for about 6 years now. Thanks for joining us today, and welcome to all you who are regular members of the church, and also for those of you who are joining us for the first time or have been joining us through the time of COVID. We welcome you, and when all this is over, we'd love to meet you face to face. If you stumbled upon us on the internet, then you may not be able to listen to the song. So please, in that case, go to our church website and access a link through there, and then you'll be able to listen to the whole service. So we're going to open with a prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are always with us, and we pray that as we meet today, we will be one in spirit, although we cannot be here in person. We pray that during this time, you will speak to us, and our ears will be open to hearing your voice. Amen. It's been a tough few months for many of us, but the Bible says this: for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts for a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. The first song I have chosen does not say that we shouldn't experience sorrow or pain or any other negative emotion. Instead, it encourages us to lay down these emotions at the foot of the cross. Following this song, we're going to be visiting Andrea in her home, and she's going to lead us in a time of prayer and reflection.
Sorrow may last for the night, it's joy. Hi, my name is Andrea and I'm a member at London Road. I sing in the worship band, I love singing, and I also help out with our young people who are all absolutely fabulous. I also have two teenage boys myself, and I'm going to try and get through this recording without one of them shouting up the stairs that there's no food in the house, or can they borrow some money, or without you hearing them screaming on their Xboxes. Bless them. Anyway, enough about me. I'd like to show you a painting. This painting is called In the Storm, and it's painted by a good friend of mine called Esther, who is a member of our church as well. Now, I'm sure many of you can relate to this painting. I know I can. This person here really reminds me of myself, and I'm sure you can see that in your own lives sometimes. Sometimes life can surround us in these huge storms, and we just don't know which way to go. We don't know what to do. Life can be really tough, really hurtful, and really upsetting. Not just for us sometimes, but for our family and our friends. And we just don't know where to turn. And I look at this daily as a reminder to myself that whatever is going on in this storm in our lives, that I'm right here, sitting in God's hand, right in the palm of his hands, and he's got me no matter what. And sometimes I think we forget to be thankful for that. Sometimes I think it's hard to grumble and moan about life and how difficult life can be. And sometimes we forget to say thank you for all the good things and all the times that God has really got us through those storms. Our reading today is from Philippians 2, verse 14 and 15. And I'm going to read it from the Youth Bible to you. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Then you will be innocent and without any wrong. You will be God's children without fault. But you are living with crooked and evil people all around you, among whom you shine like stars in the dark world. We're going to take a bit of time now to pray. Father God, we thank you for the words we've just heard. And we pray that we can learn not to grumble, especially when things are not going how we thought. Help us not to argue, Lord. Help us to just be more like Jesus. Help us when times are just so tough. Help us to remember you have hold of us in any storm, and help us to be thankful for that. I'm now going to leave a space for you to lift anybody up by name to God in our fellowship, or your family or your friends, anybody that you think really needs God at the moment. So we'll just be silent for a moment. Father, thank you so much for knowing all of those names and all of those situations that we have just given to you, Lord. And we just pray that we will just, you would just be with those people, Father, and we just lift them to you. Amen. We're now going to sing a song, or listen to a song, called Everlasting God. Because that's what he is. He is everlasting. And he will reign forever. He is our hope and our strong deliverer.
Thank you.
The topic of my sermon today is wine or shine. Just to be clear, that's wine with an H, not without an H. I'm not talking about Lambrini or Shiraz. Earlier, Andrea read to us the passage for today from Philippians. I'm just going to read it again, just to refresh us, as it's only a short passage. It says this: do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Please notice I've come dressed in a theme top for the sermon. I've come across a few people in my life which really stand out to me, not particularly for their intelligence, their good looks, their theological knowledge, or any other attribute, apart from the fact they're really nice people, just generally nice through and through. And these people are really rare. We don't come across them very often. I had a friend in my old church up in Cheshire. Her name was Julie. Julie's life isn't a particularly easy one. She is riddled with endometriosis, and she spends the vast majority of her life almost in constant pain. Julie would speak openly about her experiences. She would share when she was struggling with the pain. She would ask for prayer. But despite this amount of suffering, never once did I hear her moan, and never once did I hear her say anything negative about anybody at all. Julie's optimism and her outlook had such a positive impact on the world around her. She was always there for people who needed her. She never belittled their pain when their pain was much less than her own. On the other hand, I'm sure we have all met that other person. You know the one that never stops whinging and moaning, the one that can turn anything positive into a negative. They drain the energy out of those people around them, and it's hard to feel anything but down in the dumps after spending time with them. The truth is that most of us fall somewhere in the middle of that. We have times when we're Julies and we're positive, and there are times where we struggle with negativity and become a bit like Victor Meldrew. Paul is writing this passage to the Philippian church. I think it's fair to say that this is his most positive letter. It doesn't contain the rebukes in the letter to the Galatians, the chastisement in the letter to the Corinthians, nor the concern expressed to the Colossians. Instead, it's a letter of thanks to a church who have been supportive and generous, both in terms of their money and their hospitality to Paul. It was, of course, a church with faults, because as we all know, there is no such thing as the perfect church. But in this letter, Paul recognises the strengths. And Paul recognises that these strengths had led to the church shining like stars. So that's the theme of the sermon today. How can we, like the Philippians, shine like stars in the night? So Paul asks us to do everything without grumbling or arguing. He doesn't say do some things, but he says all things or everything. Grumbling comes from the Greek word gugusmus. It means more of a mumbling. It's a great word, don't you think? It sounds miserable, gugusmus. It's a quiet dissent. It's not loud and outspoken. I don't know about you, but I have a confession. I'm frequently guilty of gugusmus. Imagine the scene. I've had a long, hard day at work, and I open my front door, and there before me are the school bags, the shoes, the coats, just deposited in the hallway as I walk in ready for me to pick up. I walk through to the lounge, and there are cups and there are plates that haven't been put in the dishwasher. And there are children, I have a lot, lying around everywhere, watching TV, chilling out, having a nice time. I'm tired. I've had enough for the day. And I descend into this state of gugusmus. I stomp about my house, muttering under my breath. But when I get into this state, I fail to recognise the positive things. I might miss the fact that somebody's loaded the dishwasher or taken the wheelie bin out the front. I may even forget to ask my children whether they've had a good day. In short, I forget to be pleasant and instead I stomp. It's more difficult to recognise this as a problem, isn't it? If somebody kicks off, becomes really angry and screams and shouts, we take notice and we think, oh, look at them with their negative attitude. But meanwhile, we stomp about our houses, muttering under our breaths. We become Victor Meldrew and we fail to shine. And in some ways, this can be as destructive because it becomes our mindset. It happens so often that it permeates our character and who we are as a person. If we develop this characteristic, it impacts our views on everything, on the church, on our families, on the world, on what is happening around us. And ultimately, we become that person, the one we spoke about earlier, the grumbler, the mumbler, the quiet dissenter who spreads negativity. We become less of a Julie and more of that person. Imagine looking on this as a non-Christian. Imagine seeing the Christian mumbling under his breath or her breath with a negative attitude. What does this communicate to the world around us? So that's the grumbling a bit, but what about arguing? Arguing's like the next stage on from grumbling. Arguing is when we seek to involve others in our mumblings. When researching for this sermon, I came across a little passage that described it as this. It says, arguing takes place when our complaining moves from our hearts to our heads and then it vomits out of our mouths. Arguing often stirs up doubts and suspicions. Someone has said that this happens as we pass around our poison to others. When our silent grumblings turn into open arguing. So is it okay to disagree? Well, of course it is. There's joy in diversity. We should not be afraid to disagree with one another. But in a way that models the reconciling love of Jesus. Modelling good disagreement is a gift that we can give to the world. I guarantee that you will never find another person on earth that agrees with you on every single matter. Is it okay for you to disagree with something in the church, in our church? Absolutely. The key here is about how this disagreement plays out. Speaking on behalf of the leadership, I think I can say that we really welcome feedback. We welcome different views and different perspectives. And sometimes we need this to reevaluate where we are. But whether it's a problem inside of the church or outside of the church, we need to stay humble in our approach. If we have issues, we need to speak to the right people. It's so easy at those times to speak to the wrong people and start that mumbling and grumbling to everyone apart from the person that we have a disagreement with. So let's not grumble to others, but let's gently approach that person and discuss it with them. And at times, we may need to agree to disagree, but that's absolutely fine. So what happens when we quit grumbling and arguing? Paul says that we will become blameless and pure, children of God in a crooked and depraved generation, and we will shine like stars. I said earlier that grumbling permeates our characters and who we are. It's the difference between us being effective and non-effective Christians. Or in other words, it's a difference about whether we are able to make an impact for God or not. This passage is really simple. Paul says, quit the grumbling, quit the arguing, and then you're blameless and pure. Some of you may have listened to my midweek thought, and some of you may even remember it, that I did a few months back. I used very briefly this passage then, and one of the things I said was, the darker the night, the brighter we can shine. Paul wrote to a church who existed in what he described as a crooked and depraved generation. I am sure that Paul would equally use these words to describe our society today. We live in a culture where good looks, where we value good looks. Younger and younger children suffer from mental health illnesses as they feel the pressure to look a certain way. We live in a world of filters where we take a picture of ourselves and then we filter it and we filter it and we filter it and then we filter it once more until we're happy with what we see, even if it looks nothing like us. We live in a world where we value material wealth and we teach our children to succeed, we need to be rich and powerful. We value intelligence, we value status, we value results, we value winning, we value possessions and big houses and fast cars, and the list could go on. But you see, this is all back to front. It's all wrong. We should never conform to this culture. God calls us to be in the world, but not of the world. God calls us, you and I, to stand out. We are indoctrinated in our culture from the moment we're born. Everywhere we go, at every time we turn on our TV or our radio, every newspaper or magazine we open, we're indoctrinated with these values. But God calls us to something different. God calls us not to be sucked into this, but to shine like stars. I would much rather say of one of my children that they are pure and blameless than they are rich and powerful. I would much rather say that their beauty shines from the inside of them than through their good looks. I would much rather they had a healthy mind than a size 8 body. We need to shine by having a completely different value system to the world. Yeah, some of us may have been blessed with good looks, and some of us may be in positions of power. Some of us may achieve in the eyes of the world. But many of us may not. This does not impact on our ability to shine. We shine not through these things. We shine because we are pure and blameless. So God created you to be you, whatever your IQ, whatever you look like, whatever your age, whatever your job status, or your sporting ability, you were made to shine and shine uniquely. How? Through integrity of character, through kindness, through living a life which is different to the culture today, through positivity, through being pure and blameless, because your life is free from grumbling and arguing. Our society is dark, and I can honestly say that at the moment it's the darkest I have known it to be in my lifetime. People are dying from the pandemic. We turn on our TV and we see unrest on a global scale. We see the rise of poverty. We see racism. We see injustice. We see grumbling and arguing in all levels of society. If ever there was a time to shine, it's now. So if we choose to make this radical change, and believe me, it's no small change to reject all arguing and all grumbling. What does it mean to be a star? Again, another confession. I'm really no scientist. But I thought, I know, I'm going to research about stars. I quickly gave up any adult sites and reverted to kids' sites so that I could understand the very basic science that was contained in them. But stars are made up of two elements, hydrogen and helium. Without both of these, they wouldn't exist. And they certainly wouldn't shine. You will not shine unless there's two elements in your life. You need yourself, but you also need God. If you imagine yourself as the physical body of the star, you need God with you to shine through you. He is the helium to your hydrogen, or the other way round. But without God, if you try and do it alone, you will fail to shine. Did you know that some stars shine more brightly than others? That depends on how far from Earth they are. How far away from the world are you? God has called us to be in the world, but not of the world. Have you taken yourself so far away from the world that you are failing to shine brightly? Have you focused so much on church activities that you no longer have Christian friends? Does your life revolve almost entirely around church? Now, don't hear this wrong. Church is really important, and it's good that we meet together and we meet to fellowship. But God also calls us to be in the world. God calls us to have friends and build relationships outside of the church. If we remove ourselves too far away, we won't shine. When we see stars, we're looking at the past. Some starlight reaches the Earth relatively quickly, such as the Sun, which takes 8 minutes. Other stars take much longer. There's a star called the Eagle Nebula, which takes 7,000 years for the light to reach Earth. There will be times when you shine and you see the impact almost immediately. And there will be other times to shine where you will shine and you'll never see that impact. I'm a social worker. I work with foster carers as part of my job. And as you know, foster carers will take in children who, by and large, have huge amounts of trauma. And some of them become quite quickly disheartened when they don't see an immediate change in that child. And I always say to them, as a child social worker, I always say, you will never ever know the impact you're having on this child. Some of what the love and the care and the nurture and the skills that you're putting into this child may not be evident in their life until much, much later on. They might be 30 or 40 or 50. It might be the first time they hold their newborn baby and they're able to show affection and love. You will never know your impact. And it's the same for us as Christians. We will never know the full extent of the impact we have on the people around us. I can name the people that led me to Jesus. I can't name the people that led those people that led me to Jesus, or the people that led the people that led the people that led the people that led me to Jesus, if all that makes sense. If we shine like stars, the impact of that can go on and span generations. And that's quite awe-inspiring, isn't it? What you are doing today, the way you are living today, may impact on the world in 7,000 years' time. And finally, stars usually exist within constellations. And why is this important? Because a constellation has a bigger impact. If we try and shine alone, we'll be merely a dot in the sky. What we need is a London Road constellation of stars. We need one another. We need the church. We need to be aligned. We need to work together. We need to be a church who builds its community around this shared value system that we talked about earlier. We need to create a church where love and acceptance and unconditional positive regard, all powered by the Holy Spirit, supports us to live a life free of grumbling and arguing. Together, we need to build this culture. As I said earlier, I've been here 6 years, and I think as a church we've come such a long way. And I think we're shining. I really do believe that we're shining, but I also believe that we have the capacity to shine even brighter. What if we modelled a way of life that is so radically different from anything that people have experienced before? What if when people came into our church, they are bowled over by love, by positivity, by acceptance? What if we were to be able to offer a different way of living, a different way of thinking, in a world of bickering families, of falling outs amongst friends, of negativity and arguing on social media, of politicians shouting at one another, of global disagreements? What if we modelled something so different that we stood out like a constellation of stars on a dark night? So, in summary, I challenge you this week, and I'm challenging myself because, as I confessed earlier, I'm very guilty of mumbling and grumbling at times. But I challenge you to strive to live a life free of grumbling or arguing. Instead of the energy you put into that, let's use it for us to encourage. Let's use it for us to be an example to others and to the church, to your household, in your workplace. I ask you to ask yourself, are you going to whine or are you going to shine? So that's the end of the sermon, and I just want to say thank you for joining us today. And we're going to close with a prayer followed by a song. Now, when I chose this song, I had no idea what Andrea was going to put into a reflection. I don't think Andrea knew at that point what she was going to put into that little prayer and reflection. But I invite you to just think and picture in your mind that picture of Esther's that Andrea held up. That picture of the woman in the palm of the hand, of a hand, in the midst of a storm and the waves. I want you to picture that in your mind, and as the last song is played, and I'm really sorry I couldn't find it with the lyrics, just close your eyes and think of people in the church. The song is a blessing that we can pray over each other, and I'd like us all just to go through people in the church in our minds and just visualize that hand and place those people into God's hands for this week. So the prayer that's the theme of the song, but also the prayer I want to finish with, is an old Irish blessing. And it says this: may the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft on your fields, and until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen.
May the road rise to meet you. May the wind always blow at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. Until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hands. And be strong, don't falter now. Tomorrow comes and it's always coming around. Do not fear, for this is not the end. Tomorrow comes and it will never falter. May the road rise to meet you in our window, he's blowing you back. May the sun shine warm upon your face, the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hands. And be strong, don't falter now. Tomorrow comes and it's always coming around. Do not fear, for this is not the end. Tomorrow comes and it will never falter. Sunshine warm upon your face,